Shalom, everyone. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to the Soul of Israel on the Land of Israel Network. Good morning, my dear friend, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz.
Shalom aleichem, Rav Shlomo.
How are you feeling today?
Baruch Hashem, I'm feeling pretty good.
You feel the 9 days?
Yes.
How so?
It's heavy. There's a certain heaviness. I've been really stringent on not listening to music. And I realize that music often, you know, I turn it on when I need it.
Sure.
Or want it, you know, and then right. And now that it's not there, it's allowed me to fill that sort of musical void with thinking about why I'm not listening to music.
Correct.
Yeah. And there's also things I'm surrounded by that are tragic and painful.
Right.
And it's always possible to harness that pain
right.
for recognizing why right. it's happening.
And it just like comes up to the surface during these days. All those things that we usually try to say like, no, it's all good. Everything's good. You're like, wait a second. It's all good except when it's not.
Right.
And during the 9 days is like a place where our rabbis instituted for us. Look, there's a time where you say like, it's all good except when it's not. And we're living in a reality that we still don't have the temple physically and somewhat spiritually. So we feel it. We you know, it's like almost a bracha that we feel the pain. Would you rather not feel the pain? Would you numb?
I'd rather feel the pain.
We'd rather feel the pain. So today's segment's going to be a little bit more not sad or depressing or melancholy or dark. It's just going to be real with the times because we would do anything in the world to not have another Tisha B'Av again, or would we?
I like the way you posted on the wall there saying that Eicha this year is going to be read behind Toby's house if, God forbid, we don't merit the...
I mean, the fact that there's like new Eicha's commentaries is pretty... I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. Some guy posted online. He's like, hey, look what I got. The latest edition from so-and-so about this. And this year I'm going to have a smashing Tisha B'Av. I'm like, this is not one of the things like, you know, there's a Sephardic custom to actually throw away the Eichas and the Kinos every year.
Really?
The Kinot. Yeah, not the Eicha. Eicha is one of the Megillas in the Tanakh, but the Kinot, the Lamentations. Yeah.
I feel bad for the guy that finished this commentary. He spent many years writing it, and now it's obsolete.
Amen. Amen to that. So I want to discuss something that we had learned earlier this week that I've been thinking about all week, because I need to approach Tisha B'Av differently. I get full of anxiety every year. That's the truth. I get full of anxiety of how much am I going to really feel fake? How much am I going to allow myself to be in pain? Do I know what real pain is? Am I really living a life that enables me to sincerely mourn over the fact that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash? And the anxiety thinking that we're probably going to have a lot more Tisha B'Avs. That's the anxiety that I personally go through every year as we approach Tisha B'Av. And I don't know how to just let it be, because I don't think it's supposed to be a day which should just let it be. You have any anxiety towards, nothing to do with the fast.
Sure. Yeah, no, of course not the fast. It's about are you going to be able to connect with the authentic emotions of it?
Correct, of the day, the authentic emotions of the day. So, you know, the word authenticity is very much rooted to the word origins. Like, I want to be authentic. I want to be original. I want to be real. I want to be connected to the root, to the source. So what's the authenticity? What are the origins of Tisha B'Av? So Tisha B'Av, where it's the day where we mark the destructions of both temples, that day on the calendar, the 9th of Av, has been on our calendar way before the destruction of the temple. It didn't just happen. That day didn't become that day after the temple was burnt. We go back many years before that. And we go back to one of the most heart-wrenching stories we have in the Bible, in the Torah. And that's the story of the scouts, the Meraglim. The day the Meraglim came back with their report over the land of Israel after reporting and sharing what they saw, it says that Am Yisrael spent the night crying their heads off in their tents. Crying. And the Gemara says, the Midrash says to us, it says, God says, you cried over nothing. Ani ekba lachem b'chia ledorot. I'm going to make you cry for generations and generations to come. And whenever we go into, we try to tap into the depths of Tisha B'Av, we always go back to the story of the scouts, that I'm usually end up speaking Lashon Hara about someone based on seeing something in them. And my eyes mislead me, and therefore my eyes send messages down and up my brain and down to my mouth. And that's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of Sinas Chinam. It's the beginning of baseless hatred. When I base something based on what my eyes saw, even if it's appeal, even if it's the outer realm of something, I so easily send a message from my eyes to my mouth. But this year we learned something much different. And I want to credit him. It's a rabbi named Rabbi Erez Moshe Doron. He's a wonderful, fantastic author and a rabbi that's very much Breslov, from the spirit of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And he raised the following question, which I thought was just a question that everyone should ask whenever they learn that Gemara we learned before about God saying, you cried over nothing, because their report wasn't even, you know, the truth of the truth. I'm going to make you cry forever. Is God a God of vengeance? Is Hashem a Nakman? Is he someone that holds revenge? Is just like, you know, God's concept of godding, of being God, is that, especially with us people, every year I'm going to take that vengeance out again. We don't, in fact, we refer to God as the complete opposite as Nakman. We call him Av HaRachaman, God of mercy.
But it does say El Nekamot Hashem. He is also the God of vengeance.
Yeah, but who are we referring that to?
Not towards Am Yisrael.
Towards his own people.
Right.
Right, so I should say the God of vengeance towards his own children, towards his own people, does that?
No.
So we have to look into this statement a little bit deeper. What does it mean that God said, I'm going to make you cry forever? You ever cry, Ari?
Sure.
How awesome does it feel?
It can.
And it can also not. Let's go into let's go a little bit deeper into deciphering why and when it feels good and why when it feels bad. So I'm not going to ask you when the last time you cried was, because it's not for now, or maybe it is. You can be as vulnerable as you want. But try to remember the last time that you cried and it felt horrible. All right? You don't have to tell me when, but if you can go there, and all our listeners, please do this with us for a second. Go into your heart and close your eyes and shut off everything that's blocking you from feeling alive, really alive. Go into your heart and see the last time you cried. Try to go back the last time you cried. Now, what were those tears about? Did it feel good or did it not feel good? Because sometimes you cry and you feel amazing afterwards. And sometimes you cry and you feel like your tears were for nothing. So there's two types of crying. There's Bechi Shel Yeush and there's Bechi Shel Tikva. Bechi Shel Yeush means tears of despair. Sometimes I cry just because I'm hopeless. I feel helpless. And the situation can't be better. Can't be good. Those were the tears of the first Tisha B'Av. When they came back, when the scouts came back and reported what they reported, we tuned into Bechi Shel Yeush, tears of despair. We cried. But it wasn't a crying of asking God for anything. It was crying where we're basically cementing the decree. This is what it is. God looks at us and says, you cried tears of despair when there was no reason to be in despair. I'm going to set a day etched in time for eternity until Mashiach comes where you're going to cry every year. But it's not that I'm making you, giving you a punishment and making you feel sad every year. It's that I'm giving you an opportunity every year to transform the way that you cry from tears of desperation to tears of tikkun, to tears of longing, to tears of understanding what's missing in my life. So in a weird way, when God says, I'm instituting a day for you to cry every year, Tisha B'Av is an incredible opportunity. Where in my life, it's a day of introspection, of looking and saying, where in my life do I really cry over nothing? And have I learned yet how to cry tears, not of joy? We're not talking about tears of joy. It could also be pain. Pain hurts, but not desperation pain. Pain which directs us towards the tikkun of our nefesh. And when you look at it like that, God, the last thing you will say about God is that he's a God of vengeance, where he's saying, I'm going to make you cry forever. Well, God, the way we learn this piece is that it's a tikkun for the meraglim. It's a fixing for the scouts that came back and caused us to cry out of despair. You know, we hear a lot of bad, evil reports from people about the world, about ourselves, about people, about family, about the Jewish people, about the nations of the world. We hear meraglim talk all the time. But what do you do after you hear meraglim talk? Do you cry? Probably, hopefully. You're alive. You cry. But what kind of tears are they? Bechi shel tikkun. Tears of fixing. Now what's interesting, and we've said this many times in the past, what we read on Tisha B'Av is something that's called kinot. Kinot means lamentations. Kinot, like mekonenot. Used to have women who would stand by graves and they would lament. They were like professional criers. They would arouse the public to do tshuva, to be in pain over the loss of someone beloved or not so beloved, and therefore you needed a lamenter, professional lamenter. They would know how to cry. They'd know how to kvetch. So, kinot, lamentations, is the same letters as tikkun. It's also the same letters as nituk, which means
severing,
separation. And it's also the same letters as tinok, as a baby. Tisha B'Av is an opportunity to lament. But to lament over what? That I'm menutak, that there's a nituk, that I'm separated from my heart and I'm crying over nothing. And thus it gives me a chance for a tikkun to start experiencing life again like a tinok, like a baby. And therefore, when we say now, we go back to the statement, Ani atem bachitem b'chiyah shel chinam, Ani ekba lachem b'chiyah ledorot, we say to Hashem, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know what we're crying over, to get a sense of how we are directing our emotions, what kind of lives we're living. Because the tikkun of all this mess we're in is that we still cry tears of Yeush way too much. We still have too many tears of desperation. Now to know how to do this, no one can give you the answer. To know the fine line between determining what is Bechi Shel Yeush and what's Bechi Shel Tikva. This is your own Sefer Torah you have to write in this world. Thank God no one can tell me exactly how to do this. It'd be so shallow if like, oh, here's the remedy. If this happens, that means it's Yeush. It's desperation. And if this happens, it means your tears are tears of glory, of fixing. It's not life. Life is way too deep in order for an answer like that to be so simple. But I want to invite all of Am Yisrael, I want to invite the whole world to take advantage of Tisha B'Av. To take deep advantage of Tisha B'Av. And go into your heart. And go to the Meraglim. Place yourself again in the desert. And holy people are coming to you with evil reports about a holy land. What's your response? How fast are we let down? Why do we let ourselves down so fast? What holds us back from being perseverant? What is it? And begging Hashem, inviting Hashem into the pain of that day. Because the Beis HaMikdash was a place of the exact opposite. The last thing in the world that a Jew felt when they were in the Beit HaMikdash was Yeush, was desperation. That world didn't exist. There was no Yeush. Everything was always new. Everything was renewing itself. The energy was always an energy of tikkun in the Am when the Beit HaMikdash was there because the Shekhinah was residing in there. So when we say we're crying over the fact that we don't have a temple, what it really means on this level is that we're crying over the fact that despair prevails in the world.
I'm thinking about the farm, right? And yeah. For me, I think I may have shared this. I was talking to Jeremy about it, that why do I really love that place so much? Because there's been a renaissance in my relationship with Hashem there. It just brought my relationship with Hashem. It's not about the aesthetic beauty of it. It's about what has happened inside of me. And I feel like this Tisha B'Av, right? I can cry over that. I can cry over the imagination of what it would be for me to be ripped out of, not only there, because if I'm ripped out of there, okay, I can come to Efrat, right? You know, I can be somewhere else in Judea, but ripped out of Judea, ripped out of Israel, and what that would mean for my relationship with Hashem. And that's real tears. So as I'm listening to what you're saying, it's really like this is a redemption of tears. Maybe that's the title of the show.
Redemption of tears. Wow. Yeah, that's strong. I think you nailed. I think that you nailed it, and I bless you to remember what you just said forever.
Amen.
Not just now. I bless you to remember what you just said for the rest of your life. Amen. Friends, we received some very inspiring mail this week. It was one that was addressed to both of us. I don't know if you saw that one, Ari. What an incredible one.
About when we were talking about why we're not rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah. Friends, keep on pouring it in. You're all helping us rebuild and rebuild our tears, fix our tears, redeeming our tears. Anyway, it says, Al eila ani bochia eini eini yorda maim ki rochok mimeni menachem mishiv nafshi. We say in Eicha in the... How do you say Eicha in English? Is it like a really far out one? Whatever it is. No. The book of where Jeremiah is
Lamentations.
Lamentations. Where Jeremiah is prophesying exactly what his eyes see, you know, are seeing. Anyway, I bless us to know how to cry, and I bless us not to run away from pain. To dafka, allow it in and pray over it while it's happening. That we should learn how to redeem our own tears. And before we know it, when we close our eyes to kind of like wipe away the tear, we'll open it and we'll see a whole holy temple built right before our eyes.
One of the rockets fell right by the house.
Josh Haston here, host of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Tune into my show this week for an exclusive interview with Rabbi Dov Fendel, the head of the Hesder Yeshiva in the town of Sderot. Just over the weekend, over 200 rockets and projectiles fired at southern Israel.
The Palestinians are trying their best to make this place into a ghost town. We're not going to let them. They're trying to break our spirit. They don't realize it's invincible, unbreakable, thousands of years old.
Hear that interview and all the latest news, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Don't miss the show.